Welcome to Living Life on Purpose on the Living Well Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Streisauer, and I'm a holistic life and career coach. And I've spent decades expanding my own consciousness, and I've found lots of resources for the body, mind, and spirit that I think you're going to love. On Living Life on Purpose, I'm going to be introducing you to many authors and experts on a wide variety of topics, including sustainability, spirituality, optimal health and well-being, and inspirational authors, musicians, and entertainers who are going to give you new insights and possibilities to enhance and enrich your life. Be inspired for life and join me today on Living Life on Purpose. Welcome to the show today. This is your host, Suzanne Streisauer, and I am so thrilled to be with you and so excited to have my guest, my international globe-trotting guest, with me today. And also to share his inspirational message of peace and activism and his music, which is also wonderful. So we're going to have some fun, great show today for you, and also very inspirational. So I want to start out with telling you a little bit more for those who are new about myself and Living Well Talk Radio Network and why I even do these shows. It's been 5 years since I've been doing the Living Well Talk Radio Network and the Living Life on Purpose show. And the reason I'm doing this is because I want to bring amazing people to your attention so that authors, musicians, and entertainers, as well as people who are sustainable, spiritual, and have something to say about optimal health and well-being, can bring you new perspectives and ways to actually enhance and enrich your lives. So that's my true purpose in life, is to do that on all levels, both spiritually and practically, and to help the planet be a better place sustainably and peacefully. And this, my guest for today, is someone who I've actually known about for several years, and this is the first time we've managed to connect with technology working for us today, which is also great. So if you want to find out more about your own life purpose as a result of this show, you can go to my website, SuzanneStreisauer.com, and I will have available for you a great guidebook called 7 Steps to Living a More Purposeful Life. And you can also find a ton of resources under my coaching tab, which will give you all sorts of articles I've written and books that I recommend and things to, you know, just help you expand and enhance and enrich your lives. And also, I kind of take a multidimensional approach. So you'll find things that are related to your 3D doing, 4D knowing, and 5D being. So all sorts of great things. And everything that I mention on the show today will also be available on the Living Well Talk Radio Network Facebook page, so that if for some reason you didn't get it and it was like, wait, that went way too fast, just go to Living Well Talk Radio Network on Facebook, and I'll put links to all of the things we mentioned in the show today, including a link to my website. So my Cosmic Impacts Cosmic Weather for today from Michael Lennox. He says that today is a relatively quiet day. The moon's in Cancer, and it's an opportunity for self-care for us all, and just to, you know, be good to ourselves, to take good care of ourselves. And the other thing that's really exciting for me about this week is it's the final week of Saturn in Scorpio, and that won't happen again for another 30 years, which is, praise God for small favors. So if you've been having kind of a hard couple of months, just know that's because Saturn has been in Scorpio. So all those deep wounded places, if they've been coming up for you, just know that's because Saturn has been in the mix and is forcing us to look at that. But the good news is, if you do look at it, you'll find a way through. So then you get to celebrate that. So, but the good news, big good news, is Saturn's finally going to be out of Scorpio and on its way into Sagittarius, which will give us a whole different flavor. So if you want more about astrology, check out michaellennox.com, and again, he'll be on my Living Well Talk Radio Network Facebook page. And I was reading about peace and peace stories, and I also had another amazing woman who was doing material on peace on my show some while back and her new book. And one of the things that I thought, I just want to share a story about peace for you. And so there was a story that I found on the internet that was really kind of touching to me. And so apparently the humanity was just, this is a metaphor, so humanity was just, you know, fighting with itself and in chaos, a lot like what we see on the planet today. And so this wizard said, I'm going to fix the problem. And so first everybody was, you know, shooting each other with guns. And so the wizard just said, okay, I'm taking away all the guns. And then humans looked around kind of mystified and were still angry and pissed off and decided, okay, well, there's got to be another way for us to carry on. And so then what they went and did was they found seedling trees and they turned them into sticks to beat other people with. So the wizard upset took all of the seedlings away. So there was no more seedlings. So the humans, being infinitely creative, went and got all the big trees and cut them down and turned them into batons. So he took the forests away. So all of a sudden, you know, he kept taking things away and taking things away, and humanity didn't change. And then this little boy came up to the wizard and said, listen, if you teach them how to feel what the other person feels, to have empathy for what the other person feels, this will all stop. So then the sorcerer decided he didn't have anything else to lose, so he tried the little boy's suggestion of going and having everybody have empathy to feel what the other people were feeling, and then all of a sudden the fighting stopped. So that's kind of a metaphor for the show today and kind of what my guest is doing in his own right. And so I want to kind of introduce you to him now, because he's quite an extraordinary man, done some amazing things, and he is going to join us, and we're going to actually get to listen to some of his music tracks, God willing, if Blog Talk Radio is going to help us with that. So today my guest is Peter Jam, and he's traveled around the world as a UN peace ambassador who performs his music in multiple languages, including English, Armenian, and Arabic. And he's also an impassioned speaker who's spoken before the UN on topics of human rights, social justice, and peace. And he's traveled to over 40 countries singing for peace and sharing his message and doing his global tours. And so he's going to share a lot more about that. He's just released a new album called Universality, and was lucky enough to listen to a few tracks from that, as well as being on a tour called You and Me. And he's appearing in Beirut, Istanbul, Europe, UK, and the US. And the interesting thing is that area of the world certainly needs some of that. His personal background is he's a Lebanese Armenian, an artist, singer, music composer, motivational speaker. And like I said, he's lectured in several languages at the UN Parliament in Vienna, UNESCO Palace in Beirut, and has appeared on many TV and radio interviews around the world. So welcome to the show today, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I feel like you're just this globetrotter who has a great message. I listened to your music this morning as I was getting ready for the show, and it just made me really happy and really up and positive. So take us through, Peter, like growing up as a child. Did you grow up in a war-torn part of the world? What was your sort of growing up like? Just sort of walk us through your early life.
Yeah, well, before talking about my early life, I want to go just like one century away. When my grandfather was born, there was the Armenian genocide. And then my father was born in Jerusalem in 1940s, when there was late 40s, when there was the conflict over there that just started. And I was born in the 80s, in the early 80s, in Lebanon, when there was the war over there, which was called a civil war. So I grew up at least around like 10 years in this war, for sure that the being born and how I grew up in this war, it had like a different influence on me. Nevertheless, the other generations, from my grandpa to my father and to me, like different generations being born and living their childhood in this kind of like the war situations in life, when we're talking about genocide or when talking about like this kind of war, civil war or whatever, it's like one of the worst that can happen to humanity. So, also I would tell that those like very worst things sometimes can make us a good person or better person, or trying to get us like give us this extraordinary power that we can pass to others so that we can have always hope for tomorrow and living for today.
That's fantastic, Peter. So with the situation with your grandfather and then your father and yourself, were the wars off? What were the wars for? What was the genocide for? Obviously, that other conflict was when Israel became a state, and then,
yes,
you know, the Civil War. Was the conflict the same, or was it different for each one of those times?
Well, I guess the bottom line is money. Bottom line is greed. Even though till these the last wars that's happening right now in the world. But back then, in the if we talk about Armenian genocide, it's one of the like it was the first genocide of that century, and which we had the centennial of it in April 24th. It was from back then from the Ottoman Empire, which was the Turkish government back then, that they decided to eliminate, let's say, to kind of finish the existence of any Christian minorities, let's say, in the Ottoman Empire, which was well known as Muslim Empire. So back then they were talking about it as if it's like finishing up any kind of Christian minority, and the majority of the Christian was Armenian, because Armenians were there in the eastern Turkey, which is right now the recent Turkey, for over 6,000-7,000 years, which my forefathers come from. And then there was the Ottoman Empire over 600 years, and people were living kind of together, and they had like new culture together, which was the Anatolian culture. And then end of the Ottoman Empire, we faced this horror that we were just having the centennial this year in April. So that was the first section when my grandpa was born. But the inspiring story in it was that when my grandpa was 1 year old, when all these murderings and killings was going on, there was a Muslim, or let's say Turk or Kurd lady, who saved his life. So here I come and say about all of this conflict, how it is. Suddenly here, this lady is saving the life of my grandpa, which is Armenian, and Armenians are all Christian somehow. So it was somehow, it gives hope for humanity that no matter what religion, what sector you are, there is humanity. There is something that we call humanity. So there is higher calculations, which I talked in the beginning about greed and about money and about resources and all of this that the authorities or government try to rule for. That is what we are fighting against, and not for the people. And that's, in a matter of fact, in the centennial of the Armenian Genocide, I was in Istanbul, I was in Turkey, and I did a speech in Turkish for the mostly Turkish people or Kurdish people over there, and there was also Armenians, to get together all people, and all with power of people, we will reach as a human right, not Armenian right, to recognize any kind of genocide anywhere, anyhow. And back then, for my father also, we know, I mean, the formation of State of Israel, how it started and how it continued. And my father was over there, and we were again like the minority in so-called Palestine before the State of Israel. So in the Armenian church, I mean, next to Armenian church, my dad was born, and my grandpa was also working. That was kind of survived from genocide. They were moved in Jerusalem. So back then, in the Lebanese civil war, that everybody says is Lebanese civil war, but it was the big resources and big calculations of so much bigger countries, from the surrounding countries to bigger countries, because Lebanon is very little country, and it was mostly controlled, and sadly, it's still controlled till now with big countries and with the greed of the big countries. And that's how I was born in the 80s over there. Gladly, the war ended, I mean, in the early 90s. But I grew up in and experienced all that horror that we see sometimes in the movies, or we see on the TV or in the news. And later on, all of these influences, it just gave me like different approach that wars and any kind of violence, let's say, not to talk about genocide or war or whatever. I mean, when I was talking also in the UNESCO Palace, I was telling that I don't have any enemies. I don't believe that I have any enemies. But I believe that humanity has two enemies, which is hatred and violence. And that's what I was talking about, the violence, which is the practical hatred. If anybody has hatred, it's just like inside of him. To practice the hatred, it is through violence in the moment of anger. So we just try to meditate on these words to work on ourselves, not to have had hatred in us. And in the minute of anger, so that we can behave and not go on to be violent. So this is on the personal level, but on the
So Peter, let me ask about your grandfather and your father. Did they, you know, because obviously you're now the person who's standing up and saying, I want to make that be different. But did your grandfather and father, were they, do they have hatred in them, or did they raise you to be a peaceful person?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, actually. Well, I didn't see that they have hatred, even though on a bigger value, like this mistreated people or having genocide, like people that had occupations or wars or even genocide, you see that they had like naturally they had an hatred in them that what happened to them that they don't deserve it or so. But personally talking on for my grandpa or my father, I never experienced any hatred. In a matter of fact, my father is not an artist, not an activist, nothing what I am right now. But he teach me one thing that he said when I was a little kid that I was playing with guns. He said that whoever owns a gun can die with a gun. So the moment that I was playing with the gun, I started to feel that this is not a good toy to have it. This is a dangerous thing. That even if I'm holding the gun, I can scare anybody out, and that person can have anything that can kill me, and I don't want to die, you know. So that's the first lesson my father taught me, and unexpectedly, suddenly, I mean, I just got that thing in mind. So I mean, both of them, they didn't have much hatred, but they were also telling me about how what they have experienced, what they have seen in their childhood or so on. And I mean, with my father, I know that I have lived most of my life, but my grandpa, I mean, passed away when I was even like a teenager. So I just know about some stories that he used to tell me. On a little bigger scale, that I can say, always talk about the hatred thing. I even say that in my book. Like hatred is inhuman. We can dislike, but we shouldn't hate. We can just dislike, because disliking is a natural thing that we can do, because it doesn't grow usually. But the word hatred within itself, it's kind of bad for ourselves, you know. So
that's right. It's bad for ourselves and it's bad for our beings. So how young were you when that time happened where you, I need to put the gun down? And then what was it that actually got you into being a peace activist, and how old were you at that point?
Yeah, well, at that time I was just a kid, and then later on I was a teenager, and I was more thinking about it, like, why should I put my guns down, or, you know, why should I own a gun, you know? And this was, we were talking about toy guns here, you know. When I was a teenager, I didn't have actual guns, but I used to see around me. But and I wanted to own one, you know, because it was cool. You know, I was thinking it was cool. But then I was thinking, like, no, this is the real one is not that cool, because it can be the it can be the. Yeah, exactly. It can kill and can be the cause of my killing, you know. So yeah. Even if I don't care about anybody else, I should care for myself at first, you know, at first and foremost. So then when I was like more like mature, for sure, I didn't ever had any guns, and I was always even against hunting and, you know, like using any kind of guns about any kind of killing. Because I don't believe that we are living in a century that we don't have any other ways to solve our problems other than with guns, which is pure violence. So I believe always with non-violent communication and non-violent ways to solve our problems. And I always say that we have problems. And why we have problems? Because there is solutions. how we can get to the solutions with our mind and with our brain and with our skills. There is lots of ways that we can reach to solutions if we want. Always, if we want. In the beginning that you were talking about my song, when you were saying you and me, my song is called If You Want. But in it, I say peace starts with you and me, my friend. But the song is called If You Want. So the peace song that I sing over 40 countries around the world. So the title If You Want, I chose it in a way that whatever I say, whatever I ask, whatever I offer you, whatever I do, I always put an option of if you want. If you don't want, you're free of whatever you want to do, you know. So I'm just giving you your total freedom, but I'm giving you an option from me. If you want to have peace and love and hope, you have to keep the faith. You have to act with will. So
with that, Peter, we're actually going to listen to that song because I downloaded that. So we're going to play that right now. So this is Peter Jam and his song, All I Want. And then we'll follow up more with his peace activism.
Yes. Thank you.
If you want love, you will get love. If you want peace, you will get peace. If you want hope, hope is what we need. Have to keep the faith, you get what you need. Peace starts within, you can't just sit and wait. I see peace starting with you and me, my friend. You can be leftist, rightist, Buddhist, Muslim or Christian. Salaam alaikum, peace upon you, my friend. If you want love, you will get love. If you want peace, you will get peace. If you want hope, hope is what we need. Have to keep the faith, you get what you need. Love is everywhere, you don't have to look far. I see love in the eyes of my dog. You can be black or white, red, blue, green, yellow, orange. I'm sure love loves you and we all love you, my friend. If you want love, you will get love. If you want peace, you will get peace. If you want hope, hope is what we need. You have to keep the faith, you get what you need. If you want love, you will get love. If you want peace, you will get peace. If you want hope, hope is what we need. You have to keep the faith, you get what you need. You have to keep the faith, you get what you need.
I love that song, Peter. So,
thank you.
You know, what a great, you know, global song, global message for the planet. So that was, I think, what, came out in 2012? Hold on, let me. That came out in 2012, right?
Yeah. It was the tour that I did in Europe. It was actually in 2011. And then it came out until 2012. And I continued. It starts with 18 countries. And actually, it was very inspiring. I started with 3 countries. And then from 3 countries to 18 countries in 27 days. And then later on, it started to grow more and more around 40 countries till 2012. And then I got a certificate as Ambassador for Peace from UN-affiliated organizations, and then another one as Ambassador for Human Rights and the Animal Rights, and, you know, different organizations, different appreciations and different push-ups for push forwards for me that we can try to like get things done all together. Because I always say that I can clap maybe with one hand, but with two hands we can clap even louder, you know. So clapping is, it will be so much louder and louder, and if we get all our hands together, you know. So,
that's right. So I have Peter Jam with me, who's a musician, author, and peace activist, and he is joining me today on Living Life on Purpose. So when you started, I mean, because most people don't really know how to plug into a peace movement, Peter, How did you, like, figure out how to do this? Did you become a musician first and then an activist? Were you an activist and then had talent and was a musician and decided to sing? And how did that work for you? How did you kind of put this all together?
Yeah, well, it's a nice question. Well, the thing is, I believe that each of us, we have talent, we have skills, we have things that maybe we haven't even discovered, and things that we discovered and we are practicing. And I believe that each of us, we can put it, I don't want to call it peace, but I want to call it activism, any kind of activism. It can be peace, it can be women's rights, it can be civil rights, human rights, animal rights, you know, everybody, each of us has this creativity within themselves that they can, as much as we can, if we can create some food, if we can create some song, if we can create beautiful houses, if we can create whatever, however, we can create also peace, we can create our better relationships, we can create happiness, joy, that the purpose of life is based on. So in my case, I was, from the beginning, I was so much passionate about music and art. And I had my band and we used to play and different songs and so on. And then it was more fulfilling for me when I started to put that extraordinary power that we can find in music and in art to reach out for people. And then for sure, I started to use also speech. And the motto of the project, it came out as positive message through the power of music, art, and speech. So any kind of project that I do, it's under this motto as positive message through the power of music, art, and speech. And the recent campaign that I'm doing, like Universal Peace Tour, the hashtag, which is Peace Starts With You and Me, My Friend. The one before, it was Love Loves You and We All Love You, My Friend. So I start to put little titles for it and I go with it. And in order to tell people, I mean, how to start, everybody, it's they know themselves how they can start. And first of all, they should believe that they can do things even without money and even without materials. And they can do just by smiling, by starting with a positive attitude, by thinking about something good for themselves and for others, not only for themselves, but for themselves and others. And or not the, also for only others, you know, for themselves and others, because happiness is always shared, you know. So I was doing sometime a project called Imagine, Inspire, and Embrace. So the imagine part is like what we think, and then we believe in it, and that's how we are inspiring others, because once we are believing it, we are trying to go to achievement, to it, the process for achievement. And once we achieve, we have to embrace everybody, and not the personal achievement this is. So whenever somebody tells me, I tell them about what I'm doing, and they tell me good for you, I get kind of offended, because I don't want to do something only good for me. Because if this good for me is not reflecting to others, I don't believe it's something good for me. Because or else I would have been a big businessman now. So
right.
I don't care about some personal success for me. But I believe that whatever I am doing, I have to share with others. Because I believe that purpose of life is to be happy. But happiness it will turn into joy if we share. Because sharing is caring, and caring is compassion, and compassion is the source of love. So if we're gonna go into this circle, we have to know how much we are happy with ourselves, and then don't stop there. We have to start sharing that happiness to reach to joy, to this total euphoria, and then we will see that it comes from unconditional love. Another chapter that I have in my book talks about if taking is happiness, there is an art in the joy of giving, the joy of giving. So I'm just getting like different things next to each other, but I guess once I start telling about my video of the song that we just listened to, it if you want the peace song, how I did the video, people, when they watch it, like it's like in 18 countries all over Europe and blah blah, And they think that I had lots of budget, I had lots of organizations, they were funding me, and you know, they are getting me all these hotels and whatever. But in reality, it wasn't like that. I didn't have even a visa to enter Europe, and I didn't have any budget. And in my biography, everybody can see that I come from a modest family. I was born in the war and all. So I guess talking about all of this, I can just say that when I first started, it was like conceived.
So let me ask a question about that then, Peter,
yes.
Because it's that tour video, by the way, is amazing. So you can see Peter Jam on YouTube. He's got a lot of great videos. And in his peace tour video from 2012, you can see him in all these different countries and all these people getting involved. And I think that part of that was just because you were happy, Peter. You were giving and people responded in kind. And I think that's probably how you managed to get through all these different countries, is that your vibe sort of preceded you, and then people wanted to give back because you were kind of a bright spot on the planet for them, and so how can we help? So did you wind up having, like, creating a movement along the way, like people would go with you from one country to the next, or did they mostly just stay in wherever it was that they saw you, and then you just moved on and started all over again?
Well, it was somehow more a virtual movement, let's say, because I was going from one country to the other. As I was telling that I didn't have the visa, I didn't have the budget or whatever, but I had this dream. And I said that if I believe in this dream enough that I can act on it, I can work for it. So it was dream, believe, achieve, or conceive, believe, achieve. So I once started, and once I reached there, I was going to do this in Italy and in Switzerland, in a couple of cities, you know, very cheap camera, you know, a couple of $100, and I can just film myself, you know, in these places. But then once these people were talking about with their friends, and I was trying to put it on the social media and so on, and lots of people were inviting me, telling me, like, you can come over, you can stay over, and we can go and film this thing together in my city. And then I was like, sure, yeah, I can come. And then I was going there, and from there was more people inspired, different other places, and they were asking me also to come to go to their country. So from one country to another, from three countries to 5, 10, 15, till 18 countries in Europe, it was all about, like, being more inspired. And once they were inspired, they were motivated to do this thing. Because the thing that I when I was having this dream to do this video, I thought that if I will just be talkative and just talk, nobody will believe that I can do this. But then I said, like, I have to invest on myself and whatever I have. And here I come to talk about the materials more, especially about money-wise. And I can tell that whatever you have, however, where are you, you can start and do something that whatever you can do. So, because usually when we have big dreams and so on, we start to put obstacles. I don't have the money, I don't have the ticket, I don't have the hotel, I don't have... But once we start to stand up and say that, no, I will try to find a cheap ticket to go to this place, and I will talk to some people over there that we can do something together. You know, it just starts to move on once we decide to do it. And it says, like, once we have the
tool,
that
whole
will
thing about providence will move in, certainly is true. And,
sure.
You know, I was just with another group of people doing something called copiosis, which is that, you know, we have a world that works for everybody, and you get sort of rewarded for doing things that benefit other people. And so one of the things that's really interesting about that is they were talking about something called stigmergy, which is a funny word. I don't even know, like zeitgeist, but stigmergy. And what it means is that everybody does what just naturally arises within them for good.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And so it sounds like you had a stigmergy experience with all these people just kind of coming into the flow, offering of their goodness and kind of helping you kind of move along with your tour. So after the 2012 tour, where did you wind up, and what did you feel like was your mission at that point? What kind of space were you in, and what did you feel like was the next thing to create from there?
Yeah, well, in 2011, I started the tour. In 2012, I was actually releasing my first album, because Before that, in 2010, actually, I had some tracks and I was just coming to the States and trying to show some producers, some whatever. And lots of people were telling me, like, you should put a CD in the market. And because I have recorded them already. So I just did the cover and then I released the album. And after that, end of 2011, like beginning of 2012, I get this call from the UN Affiliate Organization to tell me that you can be an ambassador for peace. And in the beginning, I wasn't taking it seriously. And then I thought, like, this is a great title to move on. So then I started even to see some diplomacy people, some ambassadors, or you know, trying to tell them about my project and trying to be more into more contact with different countries around the world so that I can go and experience different countries, different cultures, and different corporations with different organizations with their countries, actually. So, but the bottom line is for me that usually this certificate, I appreciate, it's really good and I'm happy and proud. But at the same time, it's not the core of what I'm doing. Like, I don't believe in paper so much that I believe the practical work. So that
That's
people,
right.
Yeah, people sometimes say, I don't have this paper. Ah, you are ambassador, you got this paper. And I said, like, you can do whatever you can. And then you see the universe, how it will react on you and what you get, we're going to get offered. And what you're going to get, maybe bigger certificates from this, or appreciation or invitation or whatever. So the thing is, once we are not lazy and once we are not trying to be negative in it, start to think positive, start to look forward to it, we will start to take steps. And we know that the 1,000 miles, you can't jump to the 1,000 miles. You have to take the one mile, 2 miles, 10 miles. And then you don't know from these 10 miles, there will be some people that can mock you and the other people that can come and force you. And other people say that can come with their cars and tell you, like, I can push you another 20 miles forward, you know? So once we start with it, we don't know what we're going to face, but we have to keep on going because...
That's the great part is you've had such courage to do that. You know, a lot of people kind of get scared. They don't want to do that. That's, you know, just like too much work. And, you know, and then you kind of have to do that. So talk about your new tour, Peter, the You and Me tour. And what are you hoping to accomplish from this tour?
Yeah, well... The Universal Peace Tour, I put a hashtag on Twitter and so on, Universal Peace Tour All Stuck Together, which I titled it as Peace Starts With You and Me, My Friend. I started back then in from Beirut to Istanbul to Germany to Europe to the UK, and then I went to Florida, and now I'm in the East Coast and going to the West Coast. Usually I plan it in a month ahead or, you know, 2 months ahead, and not the full year. It's all planned and there is all the books and whatever. I just go with the flow somehow. I just give myself the space that whatever the universe will react or whatever I am, I can have some space to move, you know, so that I will not be like the cliche or traditional way of touring. I can just be open because I'm doing some kind of a mission along with my album and along with my singing career or songwriting career or so on. So this tour it carries with it the goal, which is to inspire. And once we inspire, we try to motivate them to do whatever they can do wherever they are. So here I come from the Middle East, and as I'm Armenian, I'm Lebanese, and I did all these things even without the budget, without like big sponsors, and I come to the United States and I see people, I talk with them, telling just this story without telling anything else, or they can just check this on my website or so on. They can see that if somebody from a third world country and that has experienced the wars and everything and comes from a poor background and a modest family and all of these, if he can do these such things from zero, how come what we are doing here, you know? So this is a way of inspiring others and kind of pushing them to do whatever they can do. Because I believe that maybe I'm just little candlelight, but this candlelight, if it is lighting others, first of all, it will not lose its own light. And secondly, and foremost, which is once lighting to the other can light to the others, and then we will see the dimension
we'll
of the light. Yes, it's going to be like being more collective, and it's in this collective and in this unity we will have much power to give to rights, I say. Usually I describe myself as global rights activist, because I want to be active on any kind of issue, and not only whatever, like human rights or peace or whatever. It can be even animal rights, it can be environmental rights, it can be any rights, because through rights we can
take place
justice
too. So we're going to listen to a song off of his new album Universality. This is called All I Want That I Have.
You were alive when there was none. You are water without being any rain. For the love that you give me every day, that's the reason that I sing this way. Yeah, you say you're all that I wanted. You say
I just love that piece of music. This is Suzanne Streisauer on Living Life on Purpose on the Living Well Talk Radio Network, and that is All I Want That I Have with musician Peter Jam from his new album, Universality. And Peter, I just love that. Every time I hear that, it makes me happy. It makes my heart feel good. And
yeah,
as I've done this, you know, getting ready for this interview today, I'm like, I want to do more folk singers. I want to have more folk singers on and do more music that speaks to the heart.
Yes, thanks.
So, will you talk to us more about Universality? I'd love another one of your tracks, but it wouldn't download properly, called Toxic Demon, which is about substances. And then another one was Bingo, which is almost like a chant of the Far East. So talk about the soundtrack.
Armenian.
Interesting, on the soundtracks of Universality.
Well, in Universality, there is some totally new stuff that people start to discover about me, which is like this much diverse cultural background that I have put in it. Other than the cultural background that I have, I started to collect from my travelings and so on. So in the Universality, first of all, there is three languages. There is, along with the English, which I usually do, there is Armenian and there is Lebanese, you know, the two countries that I come from. And there is actually Armenian songs are traditional songs that I have kind of renewed them and I rearranged them. And the Lebanese songs, I have written them for Lebanon, for the unity of Lebanon. And I have a video, music video that I released. And also for the Armenian song Bingöl that I released also. And actually the song Bingöl, the name Bingöl, it's a city town right now in Turkey, which was in ancient Armenia, and the story talks about a love story. You know, it's a kind of a love story. Possibly it's like with this Armenian writer and some other girl, which is like Kurd or Turk or whatever. And the guy is kind of losing his way to this other village, which was the Bingöl. So it's kind of and I released that song in the centennial of the Armenian genocide in Turkey, in Istanbul. And I was having this message of how people are related into each other, how we need each other, how we complete each other next to each other. And that was kind of a message just to put out, you know, the seeds of hatred, to replace the seeds of unconditional love. Well, I guess from Bingöl to going to the song Lakil Neniye, which talks about the Lebanese unity, that also it is online on YouTube and peterjam.com/videos. Other than that, I have also Toxic Demon, which is an anti-drug campaign with an anti-drug let's say organization when I did a few years ago. It was 2013, before 2 years, when I wrote this song, and then I recorded, and they did a video for it. It was for some schools that they were getting together in Lebanon, and there was like the rate of taking drugs, it was really high, and we wanted to be active with no budget. And it was a very interesting project how we did this with this organization that with few professional artists and people in the video industry or music industry, we came together without getting any budget, any money involved. We did this song, we did the recording, we did the professional like recording and the video and so on. And then we gave to the Lebanese media, and they were playing on the Lebanese radios or the TVs mostly. They were putting like little ads. And in the song, clearly I'm trying to give the upcoming generation, especially the teenagers, a second chance that once you're trying to try this this kind of like dangerous drugs, which I call it Toxic Demon, that can destroy your life and you can become a better person even without it. So I'm giving some options in it. But back then in many, many songs, other than the love songs that we heard, All the Love That I Have, which I did the video in Italy, I have also some calls, which is some songs which has a call for battle civil rights, or let's say to appreciate yourself in the society, that you are unique, you are rare, and you can make a difference how you see the world to be, which is listen to yourself. And also back to the song Look Into Yourself, which is it talks about the power of fear. And that goes to my book also. So I talk about power of fear, and the other side I talk about power of love, which conquers all. And when we were talking about my tours and whatever, and we were saying that other people have usually fear, and the minute that I discovered how I can replace the fear with unconditional love, I started to stand up and go forward. And I guess
that's fascinating, Peter. I didn't even know that you were an author as well as a musician. So talk about your book. Tell us the title of your book, and if people can get it on Amazon, where can people get your book? And tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, well, the book is unreleased first. I talk about like little stuff about the book, but I guess it will be released till next year that I'm still writing. It's a mostly spiritual, intellectual book. And it talks about like big titles such as peace, love, unity, freedom, and relationships, and friendship, and so on, you know. And mostly it's just kind of my views of a better life and better being from my personal experiences and how I see things that they are. And at the background of the book also, it's motivational and inspirational, that people can take this and get motivated and inspired to light up other people, and then we can create some kind of new society that is somehow transformed with these inspirations that I believe that we can bring a change. And practically also talking about this in my tours, I have seen lots of people that I met them, and they were so much inspired by me, and they have helped me in many ways. It can be even with donations, or with like just inviting to me to their houses, or getting me a ticket, or even just offering me like a dinner. And sometimes even I cooked them some Armenian food, you know, for some beautiful couple that I was staying over. So I like to share with them whatever I have, and then I see how people are inspired and they are sharing with me, and how we can ease things and keep things going, and I mean together
without that's any money too. I think that's the remarkable thing, is that
exactly
this is kind of like your life is kind of like a love donation, and then people make offerings to you to kind of keep the journey going on. So talk about your planned sort of tour stops as you know them right now, because obviously it sounds like this is kind of on a wing and a prayer. So where is it that you know you're going to be next on the planet?
Yeah, well, tomorrow I will be in New York, and after tomorrow there is the International Day of Youth of the United Nations. Possibly I will have a little speech in the UN headquarters in New York. And it is from an organization, UN affiliated organization, which is US Federation for Middle East Peace. They are organizing this, and they invited me, and I was so happy to be part of this thing, because I believe in the youth, and I believe that how we motivate and inspire the youth, that's the roots of what we are planting right now, and we can harvest very soon. So that's the first stop, and then after that, I guess I will be hanging in Manhattan and mostly in New York for a week. So possibly I will have I will sing in the Silvana Club on 21st, and I will have another show on the 19th, and I will put all the dates on my website, and I always put some posters. And possibly after the East Coast, I'm heading like soon, like after like around 10 days maybe, I'm heading to the West Coast, go LA, Vegas, maybe Phoenix, Arizona. And I don't know if I will go even to Utah. So I will be around there, then coming back mid-September for the International Day of Peace. And possibly I will be participating and trying to do my part in the celebrations of the International Day of Peace in September. And after that, my plans are not so clear, but supposedly I will stay in the States till beginning of October, supposedly. And whatever comes up, I guess I will keep on updating my social media, my Twitter, my Instagram, and Facebook, which are all with Mr. Peter Jam, Mr. Peter Jam, that anybody can follow.
Yeah, so that's peterjam.com, and
yes,
I'll have that on
the
Living Well Talk Radio Network Facebook page, and also you can do peterjam.com/videos to listen to more of his videos. So in the Middle East, Peter, how are, you know, when you look out at ISIS, being a Middle Easterner yourself, and you look at what's happening in Iraq with ISIS and the beheadings, what's the thought process there for you about them and about what's going on in that part of the world?
Well, what they are doing at first, I can't ever imagine that any human being can do like half of the things that they are actually doing. And especially looking that we are living in 2015, and we have passed through very harsh history, you know, of wars and beheadings and whatever, lots of terror. So I can't imagine that in this time that this kind of thing happening. But then if we look back and actually I was studying before a year about who are these people and what are their backgrounds from there, where they are coming, and how come they have this kind of weapons. And we know that weapons are one of expensive materials in the market, and especially in the Middle East, it's very expensive if somebody will own a gun or rocket or something. So then we will ask. Like anybody asks me when I'm traveling and doing all of this, and I'm trying to tell them how I'm doing, and especially money wise, and then I'm kind of surprised that people don't ask sometimes how these kind of people, which are like the worst people ever, and they are doing worse things, unimaginary things actually, how they are financed and what's their background. And I can tell you very briefly that these people are uneducated people, that very young people, which their ages are 16 to 22 usually, and they come from like the deserts, from a little village or something, that they don't have even money to eat. And how come from that background that they don't have money to eat, don't have anything to eat, and they don't have any education and so on and so forth, and suddenly they become this extraordinary violent people that we can't even imagine. So then I guess I will leave for the audience to figure out and research how these people are becoming these people, and how where does the money come from, where does the weapon come from, and who's motivating them and brainwashing them to become this violent person, so that they can bomb themselves, they can, you know, they are like deeply brainwashed to do extreme violence. So I guess I can explain it in this much of briefly, that because I want people to think about it, and from their curiosity and from the way that they will think, they will find lots of surprising answers that it will be like easily to get.
Good deal.
Yes.
Thanks for joining me on the show today, and I've thoroughly enjoyed having you and thoroughly enjoyed your music, and best of luck with your upcoming tour here in the States and with your mission. And I'm glad that you came, glad that you're doing the great things and work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
Thank
for
you.
All of you listening, next week I'm going to go and be having another nonfiction author showcase series of interviews. So I'm going to be interviewing nonfiction authors of different places and all sorts of different topics. So you've seen those that I've done before, so there'll be probably 8 authors, and we'll do some really interesting things. And then I also want to let you know about a new company that I'm involved with, so that as we're talking about, you know, the mission of peace on the planet, the other thing is getting energy independent. You can actually be energy independent and have solar on your own house. So if you're interested, you can contact me via Facebook, and I will show you how you can do that for no money down, and that you can get started being your own power generation program and company. And so I want to thank you all for listening and joining me today. Again, thank you, Peter. And we'll be back again next week. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Enjoy all of the quality programs and archives we offer on the Living Well Talk Radio Network. I look forward to having you back with me again next week. And in the meantime, remember, be inspired for life.